All right. So we have to unpack this a little bit. Why did he have to be fully human and fully divine? We did delve into the idea of there is one God, but three persons, and that's like someone taking the lead. This is theology up here. This is the study of God. So what did he do? What did this Jesus do while he was on the earth? So in that 3-year span, he taught a completely different way of life. When you hear something like love your enemies, to us, it's very common. If anything, it kind of makes sense. Like love your enemies. Yeah, that makes sense. Otherwise, otherwise just everyone's hating on everyone. You know, if you've noticed, as we move to more of a post-Christian world, we're kind of losing that. I preached that when I first got here. We're kind of losing the idea of loving your enemies, aren't we, as humans? Like, it seems like the news and the world is just saying, it's okay to hate your enemies. Go ahead and do it. And it's so subtle. But when he first taught the idea of loving your enemy, this was weird. This was extreme to the people at the time. And so what he taught was a different way of thinking and a different way of life. Loving your enemies and love others as yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, then who's my neighbor? So when he taught this, people were actually intrigued because it's like, okay, that's really weird of you to say that about who I should be loving. So there was a whole way of life that he taught when he was down here on earth. Okay. And to unpack that a little more is just going to be the rest of RCIA. Like, what did he teach? Well, these sacrament things. Sacraments are going to be a big part of what he taught. When I do the anointing of the sick, part of the prayer is we talk about how in James, we were called, the presbyters of the church are called to anoint them with the oil. So we'll see what he taught as you keep coming to RCIA. The next one was healing, a lot of healing miracles. This is the one I think he's mostly known for. I would say within your own life, if you need any healing, I'd start praying for it. A lot of times as Christians, we're almost too differential or too like, well, he probably won't heal me, so just give me peace and patience during this time. I would honestly say, like, the first thing you should pray for when sick or have a bad diagnosis is like, Lord, honestly, if it's your will, you could do it. You could completely heal me of this. There are instances where, for the glory of God, miracles still happen. So I would always first pray for, Lord, if it's your will, please heal this completely. And just know that he's always interested in getting that person and you to heaven. So whatever takes place is probably the best scenario for that. I really started to pray this. So my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer, but he was diagnosed, he was given 2 years to live 6 years ago. And so we are just like, okay, Lord, this is your will. I specifically remember that day. It was the Holy Spirit, ta-da. He really took the lead to really give me and be able to pray saying like, Lord, if you can heal my dad, that's your will. But if not, you're going to bring some greater glory out of it if you don't heal him. So he still has the tumors and whatnot, just stuff hasn't moved. And so anyway, we're very thankful for that time. So I would say Jesus does want to heal in a lot of ways and has healed. So first pray for that if you need that in your life. But then second, like if healing does not come, Lord, give me peace, patience during this and the trust that this is for someone's salvation, either the sick person or our own. Okay, so he healed people. I was in past tense. I was like taught, healed. So I was like, well, I just got to keep the past tense up, miracled. So feeding of 5,000, walking on water. God can suspend the laws of nature because he wrote them. Just after teaching physics for 4 years in a Catholic school, that was pretty fun to just every now and then I would teach something called like the law of non-contradiction or, inelastic collision or something. And it's like when these two things hit, Then they are going to bounce off each other. And then I would pause and say, like, unless Jesus wanted to do a miracle, and then I'd smash the two things and be like, okay, he didn't want to do a miracle. Physics still reigns. So Jesus, because God wrote the laws of the universe, and we're talking like law of conservation of energy, any law of physics, math, he wrote all these things. So he can kind of suspend them in a miracle. So I don't know if you thought I'm a miracle that way, but there's a normal way of life, and he could just do something different because he wrote the rules. For some reason, I just remembered a parent's just saying, because I said so. I don't know why. My dad used to use that. Because I said so. And then with a smile, with his Irish smile. All right. So while on this earth, he did die. And we're going to unpack that a little bit. Like, why did this Jesus have to die? Rose from the dead, the empty tomb, and then ascended into heaven. Okay. So each of these has a very critical step on in the whole process. And so this is just getting into kind of why he did it. Again, this is more of the theology. The way that Jesus existed is unique. Jesus had to be fully human and fully divine at the same time. So let's ask that. Like, why did he have to be fully human and fully divine? Okay. The relationship between humanity and God, the Father, needed help. Did you go over that kind of in the Old Testament? Like, the relationship is broken. I wish I could have been here. Yeah, thank you. So it just, like any relationship, I always explain to kids, like, what kind of thing would just cause static between a boyfriend and a girlfriend? And one time a girl was like not calling when he's supposed to, and then looked over. I was like, okay, that would cause static between a relationship. But then I asked her, like, you know, but is that enough to break up over? Not yet. And I mean, it's high school romance. It's fine. He felt like 2 feet tall. But so we have that with God. You know, there's things that we choose in our back and forth that are like, yeah, we're causing a little bit of static between us. But then I asked them, is there anything that we could do to actually like break up with each other? And then it would be like, yeah, ultimately like cheating is the big one. Cheating is nothing other than just choosing yourself so strongly that you end a relationship. And so within that, what happened in the Garden of Eden, God just gave us the run of everything and said, like, well, I still give you the option to not choose me. Because I did that the first week I was here, right? What does the kindergartner ask, or a second grader ask about the Garden of Eden? Did I do that the first week? Maybe not. Why do you even put the tree in the Garden of Eden? Well, that's a great question, kid. Because, I did ask this because I talked about Aladdin, and love, true love is freely chosen. So he had to give Adam and Eve a choice. Like, do you want to be in a relationship with me, or do you want yourself? And through the temptation, turned out that we all wanted to self, and we'd all be in the same boat, I think. So that relationship between God the Father, we split up with him because we chose ourselves so hard. But in order to repair the relationship, you know, we owe God our very existence. Like, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. So to break up with him and then make up with him, we couldn't do it. Here's a little video that kind of explains in a pretty good way. It's from Alpha Youth again. Just added, you know, sometimes you just got to keep it simple. And I think Alpha just does that really well. Thank you, lights or not, I don't care. You know, the penalty for breaking up with God was like, you know, we owe everything to him. We owe our free will, our life, the joys of life, everything to him. And then with sin, we break up with him. And then the penalty of that is like, well, you shouldn't exist because you offended the person who made you in the first place. But that penalty, God, even right away in the Garden of Eden, when we screwed up, he's like, I'll send someone. Just hang tight. And so that someone that he sent was himself. You know, again, God is one. but the person Jesus. So the reason he had to be human and divine is because we'll get to that. I don't know if you ever heard of a scapegoat before. Scapegoat means like the thing that you put all the guilt on. It actually comes from how in the Old Testament, the Jewish people would deal with their guilt annually. They would take two unblemished, innocent lambs, and they would cast lots, roll dice, and they would say like, okay, this is going to be the scapegoat. So what they would do is they would actually kill the other one, wipe its blood on the other one, and send the goat out into the desert to die. And that represented the guilt of the people. That blood represents like, we're sorry for our sin. Here's a sacrifice. Imagine this is us. Imagine this is all of our guilt and all of our wrong. We should, by all rights, die, but we're putting this goat as instead of us. So putting that blood on the other one, sending it out into the desert, annihilating sin. So when John points to Jesus walking by and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," a lot of the Jewish people were like, "That's weird, because you're referencing the one that's got to die." In reference also to the Passover, it's like, well, the lamb, the sacrifice, in another instance, we have to eat that thing. You have to kill it, sacrifice it, and eat its flesh. But you're like pointing to a human to say that. That's really weird. So the reason Jesus had to be fully divine first was just like the judge. We couldn't apologize largely enough, if that makes sense. We don't have enough stuff. By all rights, we should have all just kind of been like wiped off the face of the earth, because we're the ones that betrayed the creator. So we didn't have enough. So we needed God to actually come onto our side to do it. I really like that image of taking off the robe in order to come on our side, because that's why he had to be fully human. God can't suffer. Divinity can't be touched. He can't draw blood. He can't stop breathing, because divinity is untouchable, indestructible. So to become human meant that he finally was a way that he could finally bleed and then ultimately die. He had to find a way in order to die. And how do you do that? You fully become human. So Jesus, both in his humanity and his divinity, were together, two natures under one person. Okay. Hopefully that kind of makes sense. I wanted to unpack maybe nature really quickly. Let's just do that in a minute. 1 minute for nature. Yeah. People who know philosophy, they're like, you can't do that. I mean, nature is how you would describe, if I said has fur, four legs, you're thinking of a lot of different animals right now, but then I said meows, you would know it's a dog. No, it's a cat. Because all of those aspects are part of the nature of cat. So the nature of human is, in principle, like we're all like born differently sometimes, and I'll wrap this up, bipedal, two arms, but have a rational soul. We can think for ourselves. We have free choice. Okay. So that's human nature. So that's the thing that divinity, which is indestructible and all-knowing, married together within Jesus. Okay. So two natures, fully divine, fully human, and one person, Jesus. And why? So that he could die. He could die and have this be the perfect sacrifice. Okay. So I know that was a lot in one evening. And I know maybe I didn't even touch the topic in the questions that you had about Jesus. And I understand that. That's why it's like studying of Jesus and getting to know him and praying to him. It's a lifelong process. So feel free to keep coming to RCIA, keep asking the questions you want. What we'll do is we'll say a short closing prayer. And then we'll just do Q&A for as long as you guys want to remain or not. No judgment on if you have to go, because I do respect your time. You can't always just sit at the feet and learn of the Lord. But are there any live questions before I do the final prayer and then get to question box? Okay. All right, let's say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, you became a human. You became vulnerable because of your great love for us. You took on the penalty of sin because you wanted to save us. Help us to understand this. Help us to know that it is our individual sins that you came to save us from, that you took on the penalty, that you stepped in front of whatever danger was coming our way. So as we understand you in a deeper general sense, help us to pray to you during this time as we learn more about you. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.